Joe Davis is, how old is he? He's like Drew Carter. He's like 25.
Is he that young? He's a young pup of a guy?
I think so. He's one of those guys who sounds like this annoys me.
What's his name? Joe Davis?
Joe Davis for Fox. He's calling the World Series. He's one of those guys who sounds like he's 60.
36.
Oh, he's that old?
Yeah.
Still, that's young.
I mean, calling a World Series game.
A for effort, he says.
A for effort.
So, it's funny. Watching that play, that's what stands out to me, obviously, about the game. If you missed it, ball Mookie Betts is going to grab, goes into the crowd for it. One guy grabs his glove and tries to take the ball out of the glove, and another guy next to him grabs it.
He does pop it out.
He pops it out eventually.
Here you go. You're watching. If you see it on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, here you go, and YouTube, yes.
And the other guy starts grabbing his right hand.
It's like you at school pickup, Keith, when you're going to shake a wrist.
It was a second handshake. It was unnecessary, and I accidentally grabbed his wrist. But now, and then they're talking trash. They're like, what are you doing? You're trying to make a play over here? Like, stop. What are you knocking off? So in real time, I was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I don't know, home field advantage. Like, maybe maybe you should be trying to make a play out there.
Okay.
I mean, I think the ball's been caught. This guy, what a moron. He literally is prying the glove open to take the ball. Like, he caught the ball. It wasn't sort of, because if the ball goes into the crowd.
Yeah.
That is your right.
Yeah.
Don't lean over the field. I'm telling everybody, don't lean into the field. Don't run on the field. Don't be that guy. Don't be that jackass. Don't be Jeffrey Mayer. Don't be, what was the idiot with the Cubs? Don't be that guy.
Oh, Bartman.
Don't be Bartman.
Yeah.
But if they go into your area, you can do whatever you want.
You can rip their glove open? No, you can't.
I don't know why you can't.
So here's what the guy said. Austin Capobianco?
Of course.
Was interviewed after the game by Jesse Rogers of ESPN. He's actually gotten a lot of crap for this story, which I don't get.
Why wouldn't you talk to that guy?
Right, of course.
It's a pretty major part of the game.
It's interesting to talk to this guy. And so he says, we always joke about the ball in our area. We're not going to go out of our way to attack.
See, that was you guys
pretty
crossed
close.
The line.
Pretty
you guys
close.
Did kind of attack.
It's in our area. We're going to D it up.
Yeah, D it up.
Someone defends. Someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this.
I think it's a good plan going in. I feel like what happened was these guys did too much. They did too much. The one guy, I don't know what's worse.
Yeah.
Trying to take the ball out of the glove, or the other guy grabbing like his throwing hand.
No, it's that.
That's
it's
worse.
That
right?
is worse.
That
yeah,
was
yeah.
like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, leave him alone. Like, now you're like, don't touch the players, but like, make a play on the ball. Again, you can't lean in. Everybody knows you can't lean onto the playing field or any kind of playing surface. But if it's in there, because wouldn't you be mad? All right, say the same thing, not the same thing. Say it's like bottom of the ninth. Two outs, and a guy hits a pop. Let's say Fenway Park, where like first base side, where the first baseman can kind of like lean into the crowd.
Yeah,
don't you smack at the ball if it's the Yankees are there? Do you
isn't
like
smacking
out?
At the ball different than prying his glove open and ripping the baseball out after the fact?
Yes, but I'm just trying to present my overall case.
Yeah, your thesis.
So like that's okay.
Well, I think so. Yeah. You're knocking at a glove.
We
I think that's more okay in the stands than the ball's already in there, and now I'm pulling it away
I'm
from
not
it.
There yet. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
So,
I'm there.
But I would
that's
be,
what happened.
If, let's just say, a pop-up in foul territory at Fenway Park happened, and the first baseman for the Yankees leaned into the crowd, and four Red Sox fans all got out of the way.
Yeah.
We would lose our minds
at
the Red
happy.
Sox fans,
yeah,
right?
You got to try to catch
wouldn't
it.
We? Yeah. As a group?
Yes.
As a collective? We'd be like, dude, make a play.
Yeah.
Do something. Okay.
Yeah. What you're presenting is a false equivalence.
But I'm starting from somewhere.
Okay, yeah, I got
I'm
it.
Establishing something.
Okay, well,
this is classic courtroom drama
stuff
right
now. Exactly,
so
yeah.
I'm starting with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then the next step would be, like, not only do you knock it out of the way, make a play.
Yeah.
Maybe make a play.
Make
it hard for the first baseman.
Yeah.
Like, you're leaning into my territory.
The problem, again, with this thesis, I see what you're doing,
but the problem is
Mookie Betts has already made the play. The play's over, and now you're prying his glove open and ripping the ball away.
They did too much. But
that's assault, brother.
The fans can be...
Yeah. You can mix it up a little
you
bit.
You can make a play.
In the stands?
Yes.
That's your territory.
That is 100% your area. Everybody has a hula hoop. Everybody's got their own
once
little
a,
imaginary
once a play
hoop.
Is made, yeah. you gotta just say, you beat me on that one. I tried.
Tip your cap.
I tried to make a play. You got to tip your cap.
Pry the glove open.
So part of
and
me.
And then grab his right wrist.
Part of me goes, Yankee fans, subhuman garbage. Like, this is, I'm happy Yankees fans are doing this. And I could totally see Red Sox fans doing this, by the way. I could see Red Sox fans doing that same thing. I don't know that we're much better off than Yankee fans, FYI.
Yeah, we are.
But
did you see that guy last night? We're better than Yankee fans.
You
didn't see a Red Sox fan wearing a sliding glove to the game.
Well,
what
true.
Was that?
I don't. That's a good point.
Did they interview that guy? Why he was wearing a sliding
glove?
I'm just
not ruling out. I'm not giving Red Sox fans so much credit that wouldn't happen. But
I've never seen it.
It happened with you. I've never seen it
in
baseball history.
It's America's oldest ballpark, and that's never happened. So, Jones, Red Sox fans wouldn't do that. They've had plenty of opportunity.
They might.
Down by Pesky Pole?
Yeah.
You could lean right over there.
Yeah, well, now that we know this is a thing, maybe Red Sox fans will do it. Now that you've the Red Sox would have to make the playoffs, of course,
for that
to happen.
Yeah, for it to really
you
matter.
You need that. But, oh, okay.
4 years from now.
I'm not ruling out Red Sox fans to do it, but whatever. Yankees fans, subhuman garbage. I was reminded of it watching the comeback. Oh, there's a sliding glove.
There's a guy. Look at that. He's wearing like an oven mitt.
Like he's going to swipe a bag.
He's in full uniform, so they might ask him to pinch run.
More respect for him wearing that than wearing an actual glove.
Yeah, because I'd just be like, where'd you get that? Glove. Where do they sell sliding
gloves? I think I have more respect for someone with a glove than a sliding glove. Sliding gloves, like, ouch, my hand.
Yeah, but also, like, where'd you get it?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
What's your deal?
Everyone has a glove.
He's like, well, I'm going as a pinch runner for Halloween.
He probably pounds that wall so hot he's going to wear it.
That's true. It could be for his own. Look at that. He's got this giant sliding glove. Nobody would have known about it if it wasn't for
the Kimbrel pose.
The two morons next to him trying to make a play on Mookie Betts.
Oh,
no, where those guys, I will admit, Jones, where those guys screwed up was...
Oh, this is where they screwed up when they tried to rip the ball away from them?
The ball was already caught.
Yeah, no, I would say that was a
mistake. They were just too slow.
Yeah.
Their instincts?
Yeah.
Were good.
No, these guys, their heart was in the right place?
Yes.
So part of me...
Home field advantage should mean something. I feel like we've lost that.
It's a good one, Keith.
Since COVID.
It's a good one, Keith. We don't pry baseballs away. We just throw pizza at them. That's what we do at Fenway Park. That's a good point.
That happened one time.
Yeah, so like, let's not rule out Red Sox fans would do the same thing, please.
Well, that was fan on fan crime.
Yeah, Yankees fans, subhuman garbage. And no, so,
but in this spot, those guys were trying to make a play.
Yeah, I like. Here's what I like.
Okay,
give me somebody to hate over there. That new ballpark.
You hate that guy?
That new ballpark, Keith. Too pristine.
Yeah,
too much of a museum. Even Yankees fans will tell you they don't like to admit it, but even Yankees fans will be like, the place stinks.
Short porch.
It's like too much of a museum. It's nice, it's lovely, lots of great concessions, lots of places to pee. But the actual place stinks. There's no atmosphere, and so good. They're embracing their inner villain a little bit.
They're also down 3-0.
Give me something to root against.
They're desperate.
Yeah,
they're desperate.
They definitely are.
You don't want to corner a coyote, do you, Jones?
Nope.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Although one coyote, I don't think it'd do much. It's more that they fight in packs.
They're a pack.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys were a pack.
These are a pack of morons. Pack of morons in the Yankee Stadium last night. No, but the guy, I think he just was too slow to it. And I don't know, maybe he was having a couple of brew dogs. Everybody kind of slows down a little bit like that. Yeah. So maybe that was his
delayed reaction.
If he got there just a moment sooner, I think we would all be unanimously applauding those gentlemen. But as it stands, they just went too far. And I really don't know what the one guy's plan was. Was he trying to, like, pull Mookie Betts into the crowd with him?
Yeah. He's like, come on in, Mookie.
like, at least the guy trying to make a play on the ball, you're like, all right.
He wants
that's
the ball.
The ball. Like, is it out? Is it not out?
What's the other guy doing with Mookie's wrist?
He's like, here's my chance.
He's trying to keep Mookie from covering the ball in his glove.
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
I
think he kind of just wanted to help and didn't really know what to do.
He's like, hey, here's Mookie Betts. Hey, guys, I got a Mookie Betts.
He kind of panicked.
He did.
I think he's kind of like, I don't know what to do. I'm just grabbing his other hand.
He's like, we said we were going to get the ball, right? Like,
Yeah.
It was in his glove. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I saw a pro ball player in the crowd. Thought I'd grab him.
So I do like that they're giving me a villain and something to root against because a little part of me, as detestable as they were in the comeback on Netflix, a little part of me does kind of miss, like, the back and forth. There's no more back and forth of the Yankees fans.
No, there really isn't.
It's all isn't. It's all too polite. They hide now. They cower.
I know.
The Red Sox have won too much in recent history. The Yankees, you can't do the 1918 thing anymore. You can't do the World Series thing anymore because the Red Sox have won so much more often than they have that it's not really a thing anymore. And so, good, give me something to root against. I feel like I'm more into the World Series after that last night.
I do think, like, there was a little bit of a... The problem was it was the one-game playoff. I mean, it was good and bad. But in 2021, there was like a little bit of like, oh, we might get something again, right? Like they just face each other in the one game wild card playoff. That was super fun.
Yep. And 2018 was good too when you had the 3-game series.
Yeah. So you had a couple
of the best of five.
Yeah, you had a couple of moments, but you needed to be playoff moments for sure. But then those two gentlemen, by the way, did get thrown out. They were asked to leave the ballpark, and I believe they're not allowed back.
Well, they should not be allowed back, right?
I mean,
what do you mean? You mean? They should be allowed back in that ballpark?
Maybe they could sit in the second row. Maybe they're too close to the action and they can't help themselves.
That's a good point.
Well, you can't put them in the bleachers. They're big fans, clearly. They love the game.
I like your idea of there's like a range. There's certain sections they're not allowed to sit in anymore.
Guys can't sit anywhere near the field. You can't be in arm's reach any of the players.
They really should be able to track that.
What, them being there?
Well, no, just like where they are in the ballpark. Yeah, you should be able to do that. You guys can buy tickets, but you can't sit anywhere near where you could grab another man's wrist.
Yeah. Like it starts beeping when they get too close. Oh, like, no, I'm just trying to get to the concession stand. They're like, no, guys, back up.
We have the technology for that.
We definitely do.
We should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tim in Holliston. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, hey, guys. First off, you guys are awesome. Full disclosure, I am a Yankee fan.
Oh, nice.
And just a quick reminder, back in the early 2000s, one of you jabronis took a swing at Kareem Garcia down the right field line. And
when you
jumped
Keith.
Into a bullpen and, moved and tried to fist fight somebody in the bullpen. So we're not that different. We're
all
not
right.
That different.
In our defense, Tim, it was Kareem Garcia. And
it was Kareem Garcia.
Who is Kareem Garcia?
Their heads were in the right place. Went way overboard.
Yeah. See. Okay. All right. Maybe that's what we settle on.
I don't like giving Yankees or Red Sox fans like the
pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't see a Red Sox fan. I would never do that. Really.
No. I kind of want them to. I just think I would trust a Red Sox fan to do it a little bit sooner.
Mm.
Make a real nice play on it.
Yeah. No. That's
then
true.
Be celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, you carry those guys out on your shoulders, like walking out of there. Like,
make a play.
The hero, yeah. Let him run the bases.
Any chance the Yankees rally out of this deficit?
No.
Right?
I mean, I don't think so.
They got
a
win last night. It'd be,
so
I guess.
So Flaherty, Cole,
nice,
is it tonight?
Nice symmetry in some way. Yeah, Cole is tonight. Is it Flaherty on the other side?
Flaherty,
it's definitely
Cole tonight.
Yeah.
And then if there's a game 6, it would be Friday. Ooh, so they get Halloween off.
And game 7, anything can happen.
Yeah, thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole, Nestor Cortez, Game 7, anything can happen. Look out.
Garrett Cole's actually been all right, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he stinks.
Yeah, well,
you trust him?
I don't know. I trust the fans in right field more than I trust Garrett Cole.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be some crazy rally, but we'll see.
People pile on him in the postseason. He's been good this postseason, right? He had the one kind of short start, but still he didn't allow a lot of runs against Cleveland.
He got a quick hook, yeah.
But he went 6 innings, 1 run. In game 1 of the World Series, so he hasn't been the problem. They might need Aaron Judge to step into one.
Text line is saying they are allowed back at the game tonight. Is that right?
I heard the morning show say they're season ticket holders, so they will be allowed back.
Oh, I thought they weren't. My bad.
I mean, they shouldn't be. I had no idea.
Any sense to me though.
I had no idea if they were or they weren't, but they shouldn't be allowed back.
Yeah, I know, that's weird.
At least without your your technological advancement, where you just don't let them in the first couple of rows.
Yeah, you put like a little
an air tag on them.
Put an ankle monitor on the other ankle.
No,
I'm sure they have one already, but put another one on for the game.
Over under on how many times they show them.
Those guys?
If they're there?
Yeah, they're there in the
8
same.
Billion.
They should
more than Taylor Swift.
More than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
They should have their own little featured picture on the bottom. You guys looking for the idiots in right field? Here they are.
Yeah,
we got them.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. It's Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to Would You Rather right after Trending with Billy Lane. Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll get to some Would You Rathers in a moment. Get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We talked Yankees and Dodgers, World Series Game 4, the two clowns last night, ripping the ball away. Well, one of them ripping the ball away from Mookie Betts.
Yeah, the other one was just trying to rip Mookie Betts. Just trying to rip his arm off his body.
Trying to shake his wrist, Keith style.
Can't do it. Never goes well.
We talked a little bit about fantasy football etiquette. I want to circle back to that. And also a few items from Gerard Mayo. He's talking now. Number one, he, I think, confirmed, or maybe Stacey James confirmed, PR director for the Patriots, confirmed that Jacoby Brissett will be available to talk to the media today.
Yeah, I think he's doing a press conference or whatever.
That
so.
Doesn't bode well for
no.
Drake May.
Apparently now, Drake May will be limited today. He's going to throw, whatever that means.
Oh. Are you allowed to have a toss if you're still in the...
Yeah.
You are?
Okay. Yeah, I think you can practice and not
just
be
sunglasses on
out of protocol.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is me.
Ready? So here's okay, Reese tweeted this out earlier today, just so I'll update this. He said, we should learn what stage of the 5-step NFL concussion protocol Drake May is in today. Number one, symptom-limited activity. 2, aerobic exercise.
Aerobic exercise.
3, football-specific exercise. So if he's limited, he's already in stage 3. I guess that's good.
Uh-huh.
4, club-based non-contact drills. 5, full football activity / clearance by independent doctor.
All right, so we're just guessing that he's in at least stage 3 by Wednesday.
Well, if he's limited, it could be aerobic exercise and not football specific. So he's probably between 2 and 3.
Okay.
But he's not in stage 1, and he's going to be on the practice field. I would say that's promising. Jacoby Brissett being made available, less promising. I'm not expecting him to play. If he plays, great. If he's cleared from concussion protocol, he should play, right?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
What I think.
Like yeah. I do. Yeah. And one of those kind of things. It's he's not like there's no reason to rush him. First of all, you took your sweet time getting him out there to begin with.
Yeah.
He played a few starts. There's no reason to rush him or to get him more hurt. But this is also very different. You know, let those guys figure it out with the concussion and how he's feeling and how clear his head is compared to, you know, if he had like a hamstring injury, sit him for a while. Like, you don't need him to pop his hamstring or, you know, make it worse.
And Mayo did say that today. Again, he's talking now, so I'm just updating as it's coming out. He says he does have confidence that if the league gives May clearance, he could step right back in and play.
Hell yeah.
Now, again, a quarterback is different than a wide receiver or a D lineman or something, just in terms of the responsibility they have. And, you know, there's just more mentally on their plate at that position.
Well,
than
you also don't want
position.
Him to not practice all week and then you're like, hey, here you go. It's like, well,
right.
Kind of tough.
You don't want to put him out there and have him get hurt. But to me, if he clears protocol, he should be out there. Is how I feel about it. You guys can jump in on it. 617-779-7937. We talked about Jerod Mayo and his guarantee. Guarantee. They would win more than the four games they won last year. That starts with Tennessee this weekend.
They're halfway there. Well, I'm not sure. They're halfway to tying four. So
yeah, correct. They're halfway to tying it. If they win this weekend, they'd be more than halfway there. They need this game if they're going to pay off Mayo's guarantee.
And well, not only that, the Patriots?
We're not going to throw back in his face, oh, yeah, we're going to win more than four games this year. That's not me saying that. That's not Keith saying that. That's not some caller saying that. That's the head coach saying, yeah, we're going to win more than four. Of course, put me on the record. And then they go out and don't do it? Like, that would be a bad look for Jerod Mayo in year one. So this is a big game in that sense. A must win in some ways in that sense.
And also, the people that are still clamoring for the days of Bill Belichick and, you know, missing that. Well, last year under Bill Belichick, they were 2-10 to begin the year.
So there's time.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
I mean, Jerod could lose four straight and be on the same pace. However, if he wins, if they go to 3-6 through 9 weeks, they'd be better than last year.
Now you got a stew going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, oh, you're cooking.
Now we're cooking.
Yep, I got you.
Mayo also said that he sees the Titans in a similar situation as the Patriots. Good players, good scheme.
Where?
What? Just haven't been able to put it all together, he said.
I don't even know if that's true.
I would say none of that's true. I'm not buying any of that.
I don't like that.
So that's Jerod Mayo right now at the podium. We'll give you more updates as they come in. We'll also get to some Would You Rathers in a moment. First, here's Johnny in Brooklyn waiting patiently on our fantasy football discussion. Go ahead, Johnny.
Jones, 100 emails over a trade. I mean, there's other hobbies out there, dude. That's scary.
Hang on. It was 79 plus 40. That's actually 119.
Too much.
I sent one this morning. It's 120.
And 120 even 120. On the nose. It's insane. Yeah. No, everybody agrees with you, but him.
It's a lot. Well, would you weigh in on something for me? Because I actually
legitimately
lost a friend over the fantasy etiquette here. It's a fantasy basketball thing, though.
Like Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson. Remember those guys? Yeah. Like, fought?
No punches were thrown, fortunately. Okay. But here's what I got. So, you know, I like to send guys a two for one. I give you two, you give me one. I got the best guy, you got two good ones.
I'm helping you.
And, you know, I give people, oh, you're helping me, I'm helping you. And I give people an opportunity. Maybe they make a mistake, maybe they don't. It's all subjective, right? But I got a buddy here, used to be a buddy, and he's got so mad. And, you know, the thing that he did, though, is he made a trade with a team that was in last place and totally inactive. And it was like two nobodies for a real player. And so I go, look, dude, you can't make a trade with an inactive guy. Like, what are you doing? You know, that don't look good. And he's saying to me, oh, you're questioning my integrity.
Collusion. You know, the old collusion accusation. Mm-hmm. I'd fight you over a collusion accusation.
I mean, how inactive was the guy to agree to the trade, though? The other guy wasn't all that inactive.
1-8.
Trying to change the culture a little bit.
Okay, but hang on, Johnny. Are you saying that you think he took over the other team? Or the other guy, like, if he got the other guy to make a trade, what's wrong with that?
No, I'm saying he called the guy and he goes, hey, you're not playing.
Inactive.
Like, why don't you make me a good trade? You're not even playing. Your team's out of it. Make me a trade. But you're putting pressure on the wrong guy here. You should have called the guy in the basement.
You could have had that deal.
I think I'm on the guy who made the trade.
I am too. Yeah. I don't love Johnny's two for ones. I don't love a two for one. I come at you and I'm like, wait a minute. So now I got to give up my best player. I get two of your good players, and then I got to cut somebody else on my team. I got to make room for him on the roster.
In my trade scenario, I was getting the two. He was getting the one.
Okay. I don't love a two for one.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
You don't want the two. You want the one.
I'll take the one, and then maybe I grab a good guy off the wire. I have my team, so now basically I'm getting rid of another guy.
I was approached about the trade. I'm getting the two, and getting done.
Did you say you sent another email this morning?
Yeah, just to see if he would bite before we talked about it on the air.
When's your trade deadline so you can actually get some rest?
Like 3 weeks?
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going to be at 500 emails by then.
Yeah,
very well could be.
It's too much.
You know what, Johnny?
Yeah, I know.
I'm not with you.
Well, he's like, he traded with a guy who's inactive. I'm like, well, if the guy agreed to the deal, he's not that inactive.
Yeah, I thought he was accusing him of, like, the commissioner and, like, taking over the team and making a trade with himself.
Sure.
You get another guy in the league to make a trade with you, what the hell?
Or the guy sadly passed, and then he got to go and he's manipulated the
team. That's what I thought he said at first. He's like, I lost a friend. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Like, yeah, I don't know how that works in season.
We had there was a trade that went down in the league many years ago. The commissioner in our football, I'm sorry, he's the commissioner of our basketball league. Okay. I was still playing fantasy basketball at the time. He didn't like the trade. He went to our basketball league and deleted the basketball league. He was so upset about the trade.
He got rid of the league?
Yeah.
That's a little bit much.
What an adult.
It was a bit much. Yeah.
That ended the league.
That ended the basketball league.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that was a severed friendship.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I can see how things could go pretty south.
I still talk to the guy, but a lot of people in the league no longer want anything to do with him.
Fantasy
after
football,
deleting our sacred fantasy match.
I was going to say, it kind of does.
I imagine it was like the most inconsequential trade ever, too.
Probably bad.
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad of a trade in retrospect, yeah.
Well, we've been a part of some really bad ones, or just being in the league and seeing some bad ones and losing your mind. But on the one hand, fantasy football keeps like college friends together, like years and years and years, and high school friends years and years after the fact. But also, it can, in fact, end a friendship. That is definitely true.
A few more updates from Jerod Mayo. Drake May limited in practice. He will throw. He will not practice more than 30 minutes today. So what stage of the concussion protocol that is,
I gotta
Google around. But we can get you more updates on that.
Ooh, he also said this is obvious, but he said it. Joe Milton would be the backup if Drake May can't play.
Good.
So if Jacoby gets smashed into the turf like he does every game.
Yeah, or if he sucks, you can put Milton in there.
Here comes Joe Milton.
I know people are happy about that. People have been clamoring for Joe Milton all offseason. You might get
people
it.
People wanted Joe Milton before the draft.
Yeah,
we got
that's true.
Joe Milton
that
calls
is true.
Before the draft. I was like, wow.
Ben Volen wanted him in the preseason. He was outperforming Drake May. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on all this. Meanwhile, it's Would You Rather Wednesday. Billy, what do we have for some Would You Rathers today?
First one up, would you rather have Aaron Judge or Mookie Betts?
Whoo, boy.
I kind of like the home runs. I like the dingers with Aaron Judge. As bad as he's been in the postseason, Mookie Betts does not exactly have a great
postseason guy.
Track record.
No, he's not.
And so
he's got the one
I love Mookie
short
Betts.
Season World Series.
Very few players I would take over Mookie Betts, but a guy who can hit 50 home runs is probably the kind of guy I'm taking over Betts.
Yeah, he is kind of like a roll out of bed 50 home run guy.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts is excellent, and I think they're both top five players, but if you're just starting your franchise right now, kind of pains me to say it, but I think I'd go Aaron Judge.
Do we agree?
As well.
I'm surprised.
Would. Yeah. I don't know. It's funny because they're built entirely different.
For as bad as Judge has been career in the postseason, Mookie Betts, his numbers actually are better than I thought. He's 260 with a 762 OPS, 8 home runs in his career in the postseason.
But 762 OPS for Mookie Betts,
that's
doesn't
not much.
Seem very great.
No.
There's a much starker difference between Judge season where it's like over 1,100 and then postseason where it's 737.
Well, in this postseason, he's been miserable.
Yeah, but all postseasons, like, I don't think he's great. He's under 200 batting average.
All postseason, he's 198, 737 OPS. So the OPS
sucks
is close.
Stingers, though.
But it's about 60 points worth on the bat. I would take Judge. Give me a guy who's stocking 50 home runs. That might juice things up a little bit for Red Sox fans, get some interest.
Yeah.
Like, they had Mookie Betts and they weren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so give me Aaron Judge. Maybe there'll be some interest, and we'll deal with the postseason if and when they get there. Judge.
Yeah, I'll go. I guess just barely. I would agree with the Judge.
Okay, what else we got?
Would you rather be the Houston Oilers or the Tennessee Titans?
Why don't you answer this first? Because I didn't get this question. Like, the Houston Oilers.
No, just
history?
Like the whole operation. So, like, if you were.
Like Earl Campbell?
No. Like, the Houston Oilers. So, playing in Houston in those uniforms and being the Oilers, or would you rather be the Tennessee Titans? So, like, when that franchise packed their stuff, they left, and they're like, we're going to be the Tennessee Titans. So, I would rather be the Houston Oilers. I think Nashville is a place I'd rather live, but I think Oilers is a cooler name. I think the Oil Derek on the helmet is a cooler helmet. I like the whole thing about him is better.
You do love Derek's.
I like Derek's.
Yeah.
Are there any this weekend? We'll find out.
Stay tuned for Keys.
But no, I thought that was just a more fun team. Like, the Tennessee Titans. So they literally just went with alliteration. Like, I can't imagine there's a ton of, are there a lot of Titans in the state of Tennessee?
Are there Titans anywhere?
Maybe.
You remember them.
Yep, sure do.
Right.
And even that, they didn't play in Tennessee.
No.
I don't think so.
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans, yeah. Yeah. You get into like you can get into like your mythology and things like that.
Yeah.
Houston Oilers, that's a classic. That Houston Oilers should be an NFL team still.
What else do the Titans have going for them other than the city of Nashville?
I think that's it.
That's it.
It's like, oh, it's pretty cool that you guys are in Nashville, but like...
Like, am I real keen on going to Houston? No. But, okay. Oilers
Texas.
Is a better name. Better uniform. I would go to Houston, I guess.
Houston Oilers, yeah.
I would definitely go to Nashville, so they have that going for them, but otherwise...
No,
yeah,
that was a mistake.
Who's taking the Titans?
They never should have left.
Other than a trip to Nashville? And by the way, if I'm in Nashville, I probably don't even want to bother going to a football game. I'd rather just go there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Houston, I need stuff to do.
Houston, you need stuff to do.
I need
for
stuff
sure.
to do. So give me a football game. Nashville, I don't need stuff to do. I got stuff to do. I'm in Nashville.
Tennessee Titans, they've been there for so long, and it still, to me, feels like an expansion team.
Yeah.
Like it's a lame uniform. It's a lame name. Everything about it. You're like, Tennessee Titans? Like, no, not for me. Houston Oilers, that's a real squad.
Music City Miracle, though.
Nice play, Frank Wycheck.
Now, look, you can say the Tennessee Titans have a better football history than the Houston Oilers. They've been to a Super Bowl.
They didn't have Warren Moon.
No, but
Thorne, Ernest Givens.
Success-wise.
Yeah, but they didn't win.
No, but they got there.
Yeah.
Houston, the Oilers didn't get there.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they didn't.
They had some good teams, though.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they had a team that should have got there.
Yeah, they've had
Blue Giant leads against Frank Reich. They didn't have Music City Miracles going off for them.
Would you say, but like Seattle Supersonics and the Oklahoma City Thunder, like they've both been to a final, I think. Oh, no, Seattle won it. Never mind.
Seattle won it. They won it. An additional one.
Yeah, you're right. So Seattle, they're cooler and they just had a better history.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I'm still taking Houston, though.
Okay.
Would you rather two Halloweens a year or two Christmases?
Easy. Two Halloweens.
Two Halloween seems like it's a lot easier to wrap your head around. And
actually, I got to buy gifts twice a year?
That's a lot. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And the setup, like people decorate, and actually some people, like in my time, go crazy with the Halloween decorations too. So, but it's a big commitment to put all the stuff up and then take it all down. I just think the expense on Christmas is through the roof. Whereas Halloween, you're getting some candies, you got to come up with another costume, that's fine. Now, one of the things people are all excited about...
I can do two costumes, no problem. That's easy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yeah. I think the tomorrow night, it's supposed to be pretty warm,
yeah.
So everybody's excited about that.
Yeah.
But you could schedule it where you throw one in like the spring. You do like
spring
an April,
Halloween.
May Halloween,
yeah.
And then like the traditional October Halloween. And I'm such a horror movie fan, so like you're like, oh, it's Halloween again. It's the second Halloween again. Christmas, you sort of like, that's the perfect like end of the year kind of holiday. And then you're like, you reset and you start all over again.
Here's what might be nice. Do I want to buy multiple gifts or like multiple gifts per year? No, I don't at different times. But it would be nice to like get the kid off your back a little bit and be like, when's Christmas? It's like, oh, it's 6 months away.
6 more months. This one was great, but six more months is another one's coming.
It's in 364 days. What do you mean we just had it?
I think it would bankrupt
people. Why are you asking me about Christmas again? We just had it.
It would be brutal, though.
Is your daughter old enough now? She probably is. Five?
To drive? No, she can't drive.
Where she's asking constantly about Christmas?
Constantly
updating lists for Santa and things like that? My son is constantly doing that.
I don't know how we got these freaking magazines. I don't know who signed up for these magazines. We have, like, toy magazines coming. Like, they just know we have kids.
We were getting them.
Amazon does them.
No, I do. I love toys, too.
What used to be Sears.
What do you get?
Now Amazon.
East Bay? What do you get?
Mostly East Bay. No, my daughter, she'll see, like, the Star Wars crap in her magazine. She's like, Dad, you want this? I'm like, yeah, I do. Just circle that. Put that to the side.
What we've done is anytime we're in a store,
yeah,
we go, I'll take a picture of that. We'll forward that to Santa for you.
Yes.
But now that's really turned into a thing where, like, pretty much anytime I'm in any grocery store.
Phone's out of memory.
Yeah.
No, so
my whole phone is pictures for Santa. It's my whole phone.
What's more emails, though? You to Santa or you to the fantasy
guy?
Good
point. It's eating up my way more emails.
All of a sudden, the fantasy guy is getting, like trucks and, like, balls and stuff. He's like, what is this?
Wait, a Lego set?
Yeah, Nerf. What is this? No, I think my daughter loves Halloween so much that she's still focused on this. Like, she's been talking about trick-or-treating for a while.
Yeah.
Like, in her costume, and, like, she's pumped about this. But I'm guessing by Friday, it'll be Christmas
stuff. Yeah, because they blow right past Thanksgiving. Yeah. You don't appreciate Thanksgiving as a child.
No, not really.
I like Thanksgiving now.
There's already Christmas commercials on TV.
Yeah, no, it's
no,
true.
There is, and stuff in the stores.
So definitely a second Halloween. I'm in agreement with you on that. What's the last one, Bill?
Would you rather Halloween be a national holiday or St. Patrick's Day?
So you don't get the day off for either one of these amazing holidays. These are two of the best. These are two of the best days of the year.
It's not a state holiday for St. Patrick's Day. You want this to be a national holiday.
Like, I want the day off.
The whole country
gets the company's like, hey, guys, St. Patrick's Day, stay home.
Okay.
Get sloshed. Stay home. Also, yeah, St. Patrick's Day, usually...
I think I would lean in on St. Patrick's Day for that reason.
So here's it's 100% St. Patrick's Day because, I mean, both days are great day drinking days, as are any day that you can do it.
Yeah.
But St. Patrick's Day makes way more sense because it usually falls on the NCAA tournament as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you might get it where it's on that Thursday or Friday and it's St. Patrick's Day, so you're wearing green, you're just drinking beers all day. Whereas Halloween... You can all go to work, and I mean, you and I worked nights for a while, so it didn't count, but if you work during the day, the stuff starts at night.
Correct.
So, like, you can still have the day.
Yeah, there's no trick-or-treating at 8 a.m.
No.
Right.
No. So I think it's definitely St. Patrick's Day. Should be, like, a legit, like, everybody's off. Remember St. Patrick.
Yeah.
And all the good he did.
Yeah. Right. Drove the...
Snakes
you,
right
you hate
there.
Snakes.
I hate them.
That makes sense. That's why you're so pro-St. Patrick.
Me and all my Irishmen, my fellow Irishmen, hate it.
I get it as a state holiday. You want it to be a national holiday.
National holiday.
Like national, like in Montana.
Like everybody has to take the day
off. Like in Montana, they're like,
day, what's
Irish.
Day off for? St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Wear your green. Take the day.
Okay. Like, again, I get it here.
I don't think Halloween, because part
get it,
of Halloween, too.
I get it
too.
Less so elsewhere, but I get it here.
Everywhere. So yeah. Halloween, you want to go to school, right? Because most schools do, like, the parade, or they do, like, some sort of, you get to dress up.
Wear your costume.
I'm sure the teachers love it, because it's just kids hopped up on candy and talking about more candy and, like, losing their minds for the day. But, like, if they were stuck home, like, that'd be insane. Nobody would want that.
No,
or St. Patrick's Day? Like, yeah.
All right, St. Patrick's Day, national holiday.
Hammered.
In remembrance of St. Patrick and all he did.
Remember St. Patrick.
It's definitely a religious thing. It's not a drinking thing.
Pour one out for St. Patrick.
Not too much, though.
Not too, save some for yourself.
Don't be too wasteful.
Yeah.
That would be frowned upon, is what that would be. So there you go. Would you rather every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe? A reminder, make sure you're tuned into Twitch tomorrow and every day. We'll be wearing our Halloween costumes tomorrow. I said I won't be able to sit, I don't believe, in my Halloween costume. Someone
I can't wait now.
Someone tweeted at Jones WEI at Keefe21, you're going to be McAfee.
I'm going to be standing up the whole show. That's a good guess.
McAfee is a good guess.
Black tank top.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty easy one to do. Just scream and like stand up.
Yeah, just stand the whole time.
I saw that tweet and I go to Nick. I go, well, we're going to need about 30 more people behind the scenes to put the show together.
Take a look at our producers over there.
Yeah.
The table
we
of
just
20
go
guys.
As the McAfee show? That would have been, man, if we were coordinated, that would have been a good move.
Son of a gun. Yeah, but then you would have had to do all the talking.
Yeah,
the three of us would just been like looking around.
Who's going to grow the mullet for next year?
Who's AJ Hawk? What a dream gig that
AJ
is.
AJ Hawk.
Is sit there, smoke a cigar.
Just a photo of me.
Boston Connor, he's got to throw on a cowboy hat.
I think your Zoom froze. No?
No, I'm here.
Oh, no. No, actually didn't. Never mind. Just you didn't move for 10 straight minutes.
No. I've been here for a while.
You haven't.
Yeah.
Chimed
the show,
in.
Is the show over yet? Is the show over yet?
You haven't asked a question. Or
when does the check cash?
Even made a noise. 25 minutes.
So that would be a good idea. Maybe next Halloween. 617-779-7937. It's Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, which means we'll be joined by Justin Turpin. Get his thought on the C's 4-0 start, on the sale of the Celtics. We'll get to all of it next. Celtics 4-0. Kind of where we expected him to be following last year's championship. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll do a Celtics Wednesday with Turp coming up here in a moment. Real quick, a lot of the beat writers, just to clarify, we were speculating what stage Drake May was in of concussion protocol based on Gerard Mayo's update. Was he in stage 2, aerobic exercise, or stage 3, football specific? He's going to throw a football today. He's going to be limited at practice. He can't practice more than 30 minutes. And I guess that means he's in stage 3
All right.
of concussion protocol.
Moving along,
there's a chance he plays. I would still wager against it, but I would say largely that's good news.
Yes.
For Drake May, not just his availability this week, but long term. He's moving through the protocol and not sitting in the dark room somewhere.
Well, and selfishly, I really want him to play against the Bears. So you get that Caleb Williams-Drake May matchup.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Selfishly, Mayo wants him out there this week so he can pay off on his wins prediction.
Maybe get another win.
I don't know how many wins we predicted for the Celtics this
year,
Turp, but
the number was low. The number
was 58.5, right?
I wish I didn't bet that. I don't know why.
That was free money.
Yeah.
Seriously?
You can win 60 games in its sleep.
58.5?
I'm not trying to bet a lot of minus 110, but that's one I should have bet.
Even if you moved it up a little bit, you can get it plus money at probably like 59-60.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's just free.
Go a few hams. Go 5 hams
couple
on that.
Couple hams.
Five hams.
Yeah, increase the units.
I'm not patient enough for the
increase
future
Increase the payout.
I'm not patient enough.
I'm with you.
No,
I'm
either.
Not a big future guy either.
I'm like, oh, wait. So I can lose it in 6 months? I can lose it tonight.
Yeah, what are you doing with my money in the meantime? What are you, a bank? What are you doing with my money?
Exactly.
Maybe. Hey, yeah.
It's a good move.
Jam it in the mattress somewhere. So they look pretty good, huh, Turp?
Yeah, I'd say so. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me in a couple of these wins is just their ability to go on these long runs that just demoralize a team. Like, you look at the Detroit game. They were down by 6 with 5:12 left, rattled off an 18-6 run, just were flawless on both ends of the floor. Then you look in Milwaukee, that third quarter, 11-2 run, capped off by a Pritchard step back, 26 feet at the buzzer beater that just broke Doc Rivers. And then Washington, and they had the 54, it was 54-52, they went on a 58-24 run. It's just their ability to just take over a game like that, it's incredible.
So I think I found the Peyton Pritchard comp. You guys ready for the Peyton Pritchard comp? I was trying to come up with one yesterday, and I promised that I'd have one. Toronto Raptors championship team, Fred Van Fleet.
That's
too high, too low,
that.
Right in the middle. Like, Fred Van Fleet got better after, like, Kawhi left, and he became more of, like, a go-to guy. And
he got paid by Houston last year.
At that time, he was a guy coming off the bench that could get hot and could get going. And I feel like Pritchard every year has gotten better. And now you're looking at him, you're like, I don't know, he could be, like, Sixth Man of the Year candidate, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that really heated up during the preseason well, just because of how well he played. And with him, too, it's just his confidence. Like, he shot 1 of 10 from the field on opening night,
right.
And since then, it's just been, he hasn't been able to miss. It's insane, but I like that. I like that he can kind of heat up off the bench.
Because he's useful, and he helps this team. Like, he is the kind of guy that they need, because, like, their starting lineup is so good. And when you don't have Porzingis and you have to start Horford, all right, you're like, all right, well, who's going to come off the bench? Who's going to give him minutes, especially in the regular season? And, like, Peyton Pritchard's been able to do that. I know Sam Hauser's banged up, but that's another guy that should be able to do it. What have you thought about some of the other pieces that have played so far?
Yeah, I've, like, the double big lineup has been interesting.
Yeah.
Because especially the first two games that Sam Hauser was out, they didn't go with another wing. They went with a double big instead. So a lot of people thought it was going to be Jordan Walsh, but it really wasn't. They really were tinkering with that. But I like Jordan Walsh against Milwaukee. I thought he was good in his limited minutes, played with good energy, and really filled that O'Shea Brissett role that everyone keeps talking about comparing him to.
Two-part question. Number one, yes or no. Jason Tatum can win MVP this year.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
I don't see it.
Okay. So second part of the question, does he need to be in that mix for this team to repeat?
I don't think so. I mean, we saw last year that he can, because I think with the MVP, it's so often defined by scoring. And Jason Tatum has proven that he doesn't have to be defined by scoring. Look at the finals, for example. He didn't really shoot well during that series, but he led the team with points, rebounds, and assists. And just him using his gravity to, like, when teams show two at him, can he make the right read? Because that's really the whole Celtics offense depends on getting two-on-one advantages. And Jason Tatum is the biggest kind of creator of those because they show two on him so often.
But
so
if you're not scoring and you're not shooting well, like, don't those kind of go hand in hand?
It's regardless, he's going to get attention because he's still going to score. It's just, is he going to score enough to be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, so to me, I just can't imagine the path is as easy next year. I know people don't like to get hung up on that, but it's going to have to be harder this year, I would think. And so if it is going to be more difficult, Tatum may have to elevate his game that much more. That's the only reason I think he may have to elevate his game, because you're not going to get a bunch of injured teams, I don't think.
Yeah, but they also have so many different, like, mouths to feed, too. That's another reason. Like, it hurts him that the team is so talented. For whatever reason, like, a lot of people like to bring
up
the
MVP conversation.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people like to bring up the conversation, like, oh, the best player on the best team should have more warrant and more attention towards MVP, but he just doesn't get that because the team is so talented. Where if you look at, like, OKC, SGA is clearly the best player on that team, and they all really understand that. So he could play. He's going to play like 78 games, whatever it is, and he'll be their leading scorer. And it'll be a good thing for him, whereas it's not for Jason Tatum, which that just doesn't make any sense to me, where it's always been kind of hot and cold with Tatum, where it's used against him in that sense, but towards other players it usually benefits
him. It seems like voters already have their minds made up that it's going to be Gilgeous Alexander. For some reason, he's like the favorite. Everybody talks about him. It's like the young team that's not there yet. He is clearly the best player. There might be Jokic fatigue.
But don't you think Tatum's next in line before? I heard Wiggy and Mego talking about that. You think Luka's next in line even before Tatum?
Yeah.
So that I would see more
I
than...
I think Luka is.
SGA's got to wait. That's how the NBA works.
Yeah, no, I know. But then I think to Terp's point, now that Tatum's team is so good, he's going to be penalized unless they win 70 games.
Yeah, so that's
if they win 70 games, that changes things.
Right, the overwhelming team success might get him into that.
I mean, they had a really good record last year, and they were way better than everybody else, but it didn't matter. It wasn't the tiebreaker.
He
finished sixth, didn't he? Fifth or sixth?
That February last year, they played almost all of their games on national TV, and he had one of his worst months shooting. And if you're going to take advantage of that, because the second half of the season, they're pretty much on national TV the whole entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to have a real good opportunity to prove himself on the big stage when all these analysts, the people that have the votes, are going to be watching. So he's going to have a chance, just like he did last year, to prove himself.
So there was a report yesterday, New York Post, that Steve Pagliuca is angling to take ownership at a discount price for the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll do that.
He's trying to get the other minority stakeholders to fall in line, and they can leverage the situation. To me, this feels desperate. Like, why do the other shareholders, why do they want to devalue the franchise? Why does the rest of the NBA want to devalue the franchise? So it feels desperate to me. By Pagliuca, if you had to guess, Terp, based on this report and what you're hearing, is it Pagliuca or someone else who'll be owning the Celtics?
Right now, Pagliuca's the only one that's expressed interest. Like, everyone's been rumored, but nobody's explicitly said.
Do you think he's going to get it?
I think a lot. That bidding process is going to have a lot to, like, it's going to dictate a lot. But I think right now he has to be the front runner because he's the only one that's talked about it. He's the only one that's actually expressed interest. But it is interesting because a couple months ago, I think it was to the Globe, where Wick Grosbeck said there's not going to be any special perks or anything. So this is the bidding process is going to be the bidding process. And if you're the NBA, you're talking expansion, going to Vegas, coming up soon. You really think they want to see a $6 million franchise go for $5 million when you're making
billion.
A new...
Billion.
If you're making a new franchise,
no,
like, I don't think they
definitely
want to see
not. That. Although, if you're in that world, and I know like the leagues make money, but if you're buying the Celtics, don't you come in and you're like, why are you selling the Celtics? Like, wouldn't one of your first questions be like, all right, you've had a great run. You're now at it.
Because dad's making me.
Yeah, no. And I know you're supposed to sell high. I get how stocks work, Jones. I understand stocks. You're selling really high, but then you're like, the payroll on the team is insane. You don't own the building that you play in. Like, you're paying rent to the Jacobs. So, I don't know. Maybe they're not going to get the amount of money that they want. And so, even though they're like, hey, we're not going to sell it at a discount, it's like, well, if all the bids are $6 billion. Maybe you're not going to get $7 billion.
It was reported that last year they barely broke even, and they won 64 games at an NBA Finals. Like, they were the best team, but because
the payroll's insane.
The payroll's insane, and that's another thing is when these luxury taxes, because of the second apron, start to kick in, you're looking at like how is it? You can't keep this roster together. How can you justify doing that when you're paying as much in the salary and the luxury taxes as you are for the roster itself?
Joe Mazzulla wants fighting back in the NBA. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's the most Joe Mazzulla thing ever.
Straight up fighting?
Remember his first
How often
first
was
year?
There really fighting? And don't get me like, oh, yeah, oh, remember when Van Gundy grabbed the ankles of the Heat? Like, yeah, I remember that. There wasn't a lot of fighting.
No.
If there was a Celtic, who would be the one to throw mitts?
Mazzulla.
Like, it would be Mazzulla.
You mean players.
What player?
Pritchard.
Pritchard, probably. Yeah.
Yeah?
I bet, like, if you, I don't know. I mean, Holiday, I bet.
Not
could,
Tatum.
Holiday could handle himself.
Maybe Jalen.
Maybe. He's had some opportunity to kind of get in people's faces, and he kind of sort of does.
Tillman's a big dude?
Tillman is a big dude. Maybe he's a gentle giant, though.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not. Yeah, they don't really have any fighters. That's that's the other thing that stands out with the Celtics. Like, they don't have any dinks or, like, wild cards where you're like, well, as long as this guy stays out of trouble, they're going to be okay. Like, they don't really have that at all.
It's a complete 180 from, like, the 2008 team, where all of those, they were just all dogs and vicious.
Morris and, like, Rozier and those guys.
You had people who'd throw down.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. All right, Terp, every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, Celtics Wednesday, we talk to Terp, get the latest on what's going on with the team. We'll do a Bruins Thursday tomorrow with Razor at 12:30, I think, normally at 11:30.
Yeah, he's traveling with the team.
Traveling. So we'll get him a little later on in the program. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
All right, Justin Turpin. Check out his work at WEEI on Twitter, Justin M. Turpin. Follow along for all the good Celtics coverage there. Let's get back to the Patriots. Gerard Mayo has concluded speaking. We'll dig into some of the things he said about Drake May and his availability this weekend. How concerned should we be about Drake May's latest injury? That's next.
Pats QB Jacoby Brissett on WEEI Afternoons.
It was different for me being back in there, that's for sure. I mean, any time off from playing, you know, it takes a little while to get back into it. Obviously, you know, without having those reps and practice and things like that, you can't really match the intensity of football. So I think it was more of me just adjusting rather than anything.
Miss Jacoby Brissett on WEEI Afternoons. Listen to it on demand anywhere, anytime. Download the Odyssey app and take Boston sports with you everywhere you go.
WEEI,
New England Sports Original.
Hey, it's Jones for Comcast Business Mobile. If you're running a small business, you know that